Welcome to Harmonia. I'm Angela Mariani. Of the nearly 1,000 lines of poetic verse in Virgil's Aeneid, 4 lines were set to music by many of the most famous composers of the late 15th and 16th centuries. Why these 4 lines? On Harmonia this hour, we'll find out why and listen to gorgeous polyphony by Josquin, Mouton, Agricola, Lassus, and more. Plus, music recorded live by the Peabody Consort on our featured release, Music of 3 Faiths, coming up later in the program.
Thank you.
Henry Purcell's With Drooping Wings, the final chorus of his opera Dido and Aeneas, as they mourn for poor Dido. That performance was by Le Concert Spirituel, directed by Hervé Niquet, from a 2001 Glossa CD, also entitled Le Concert Spirituel. Listeners who are familiar with the music of Henry Purcell are likely to know that Dido and Aeneas is probably his best-known opera, and in that opera, probably the best-known aria is Dido's lament, "When I am laid in earth." But long before the time of Purcell, the four lines of Virgil's Latin epic Aeneid that begin with the Latin Dulcis exuviae and contain Dido's last words were well known to the literati. Here's a translation. Objects dear to me, while divine fate allowed it, receive this life and release me from these troubles. I have lived, and the course that fortune had allotted to me I have fulfilled. And now the great ghost of myself will go beneath the earth. I have erected a noble city. I have seen my own fortification walls. When I had avenged my husband, I exacted the penalty from my brother, our enemy. Happy, alas, too happy, if only the Trojan ships had never touched our shores. Virgil gained immortality in the Renaissance not through his hero Aeneas, but through his broken queen Dido, a victim of fate and spurned love. Virgil himself might never have imagined a future in which he would be hailed as a prophet of a messiah or as an inspiration for dozens of musical compositions. But without the reception of his texts as Christian allegory, the fascination with Virgil might never have occurred in the Middle Ages. Sacred interpretation caused the Aeneid to be canonized in the 15th century, and this allowed Dido to be reborn as an unwitting victim and not relegated to the role of godless temptress. We don't know the exact date of Josquin's setting of Dulcis Exuviae, but the music illustrates his mature style, suggesting the period around 1500, and it appears to have acted as a precedent for later composers. Virgil's poetic meter, known as dactylic hexameter, is the very essence of the classic heroic epic, but it clearly takes a back seat to Josquin's interest in freely evolving contrapuntal lines. David Skinner directed the Capella Alamire in Josquin des Prez's Dulces Exuviae on their 2014 Obsidian CD, The Spy's Choir Book. Jean Mouton, called the most gifted of Josquin's emulators by one musicologist, shows us his great admiration for Josquin in a rather special way by taking the top line of Josquin's setting and composing three new contrapuntal lines under it. Listen for the words, sub terras ibit imago, my ghost will go under the earth, which you'll hear descend in a moment of musical text painting. Once again, we heard the Alamire Ensemble, directed by David Skinner, performing Mouton's Dulces Exuviae on their Obsidian CD, The Spy's Choir Book, from 2014. You'll be hearing more from the Alamire Ensemble, since the manuscript Skinner dubs The Spy's Choir Book contains no fewer than five different settings of that text. Mouton's student Adrien Villers was elected Maestro di Cappella of St. Mark's, Venice, in 1527. His setting of Dido's Lament adds the four lines following what we've heard so far, yet it's nowhere near twice as long as Mouton's, because he dispenses with the lengthy flowing counterpoint and instead chooses a syllabic and at times note-against-note choral setting.
Thank you.
We heard the ensemble De Labirinto singing Adrian Villert's setting of Dido's last words on the CD Imago, Virgilio nella musica del Rinascimento, released in 2017 by Stradivarius. Let's go back in time again and hear a setting of our verses by Marbrianus de Orto, a contemporary and friend of Josquin's, which might in part account for the fact that almost nobody has ever heard of him. Marbrianus's setting is very unusual for its time in its use of chromaticism that one might understandably imagine to belong later in the century, which certainly highlights the drama of the words. Capilla Flamenza recorded Marbrianus de Orto's Dulcis Exuviae on their 2000 Naxos release, The Alamire Manuscripts, Flemish Polyphonic Treasures. Alexander Agricola lived around the same time as Josquin and Marbrianus, but wasn't associated with Rome or the papal chapel in any way as far as we know. His Dulcis Exuviae, one of the five mentioned earlier that are found in the CD The Spy's Choir Book, displays a very wide range and the slightly quirky style that defines Agricola. We heard Alexander Agricola's Dulces Exuviae, performed by the Alamire Ensemble, David Skinner director, on their recording The Spy's Choir Book. You can hear highlights from recent and archival concert recordings of early music on Harmonia Uncut, our bi-weekly podcast, curated and hosted by Wendy Gillespie. Listen online at harmoniaearlymusic.org and through iTunes. You're listening to Harmonia. I'm Angela Mariani. Welcome back. This hour on Harmonia, we're listening to Renaissance settings of Dido's Lament from Virgil's Aeneid. Another of the five Dulces Exuviae settings in the Spy's Choir Book CD is by the composer whose signature is found in Florence as Johannes Giselin alias Verbone, another composer of the Josquin Marbrianus Agricola generation. Here is the Alamire Ensemble.
Oh.
We heard Johannes Giseland's setting of Virgil's Verses, performed by the Alamire Ensemble, David Skinner director, on their 2014 Obsidian CD, The Spy's Choir Book. The last setting we'll hear dates from much later in the century. It was published in Paris in 1570 and is by the renowned, prolific, and versatile Orlando de Lasso. Like most of the other composers, he begins his composition with line 651, but in this two-part motet, part one sets the first four lines in five parts, and then the much longer part two goes into six voices for the remaining verses. The much longer length of this motet than any of the others we've heard is explained by the later style of composition, which allows phrases of text to repeat. The performers accompany a single voice by viols on all the other parts, a perfectly legitimate performance choice that perhaps personalizes Dido in a way that five or six voices might not.
Thank you.
Dulces Exuviae by Orlando de Lasso, performed by the ensemble De Labirinto, on the 2017 Stradivarius CD Imago, Virgilio nella Musica del Rinascimento. Our featured release this hour is a CD called Music of Three Faiths by the Peabody Consort and the Echoing Air Vocal Ensemble, recorded live in concert at the Indiana History Center in Indianapolis. The three faiths referred to are Christianity, Judaism, and Islam, all of which were strongly represented in medieval Iberia, and the program included traditional pieces from all three of those cultures. Let's begin with one of the best known of the medieval Cantigas de Santa Maria, collected in the 13th century at the court of King Alfonso el Sabio.
Yeah.
Santa Maria Estrella do Dia, St. Mary Star of the Morning, one of the medieval cantigas to Santa Maria, from a CD called Music of Three Faiths by the Peabody Consort, directed by Mark Tsudek, joined by the Echoing Air Vocal Ensemble, directed by Stephen Rickards. The Arabic music of Andalusia was for the most part an oral tradition, but we have some of the poetry, particularly in the genres of muwashaha and zajal. Some of that poetry in modern Arabic can still be found in the Andalusian tradition in southern Spain and northern Africa. This is a muwashaha. Music from the Andalusian tradition, a muwashaha played by members of the Peabody Consort from a live recorded CD called Music of Three Faiths. The rich musical tradition of the Sephardic Jews stretches back many hundreds of years, but it's a living tradition with new songs being created to this day. Many of the songs are very old, but many of the most well-known songs in the Sephardic repertoire are not medieval at all. In some cases, songs are difficult to date, considering the expulsion of the Sephardic Jews and Muslims from Spain at the end of the 15th century, which scattered both the people and their cultures throughout the Mediterranean region and beyond. This one, Cuando el Rey Nimrod, is a very popular tune from the Sephardic tradition. ¶¶ music from the Sephardic Jewish tradition from a CD called Music of Three Faiths by the Peabody Consort and the Echoing Air Ensemble, recorded live in concert in Indianapolis. Harmonia is a production of WFIU. Support comes from Early Music America, which strengthens and celebrates early music by supporting the people and organizations that perform, study, and find joy in it. On the web at earlymusicamerica.org. Additional resources come from the William and Gail Cook Music Library at the Indiana University Jacobs School of Music. We welcome your thoughts about any part of this program or about early music in general. Contact us at harmoniaearlymusic.org. And you can follow our Facebook page and our updates on Twitter by searching for Harmonia Early Music. The writer for this edition of Harmonia was Wendy Gillespie. Thanks to our studio engineer Michael Pashkash and our production team, Aaron Kane, Wendy Gillespie, Luann Johnson, and John Bailey. I'm Angela Mariani, inviting you to join us again for the next edition of Harmonia.